Hello, and welcome to episode 294 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, writer of MI666, and joining me as always are the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And Mr. Lava Lava, it's Tony Esmond.
Slap it.
Hey! Yes.
Catchphrase.
In what will be the weekly Level 42 quote... If you missed that, oh, that made my week. I was listening to a bit of that. Fucking class. Anyway, if you don't know what we're talking about, check out last week's episode featuring the wonderful Lise Richardson. And also just check out some Level 42 because that bass...
I have. I've been listening to it in the car on the way to work.
Does it put you in a good mood, Tony?
Yeah, well, so I'll do the... I'd slap my bass while I'm just stuck in traffic jams.
What? Why are you driving? Yeah. Blimey. Don't you need both hands on the wheel?
Get in trouble for that. Yeah
baby.
You do the old hand out the window and banging on the roof.
Yeah, it was my thumb. Because he used to play with his thumb, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Enough of that.
Although we are in a good mood because...
Where else do you play with your thumb?
Love is all around, isn't it, at the moment? As we're recording this, it's actually Valentine's Day. Is this the first time we've recorded on Valentine's Day?
It shows how fucking busy we are on Valentine's Day. Isn't it? Oh yeah. Well, postman broke his back with my letters.
I mean, essentially, I think because of the current world we live in and with lockdown and everything, our significant others are just glad to be shot of us.
Dan, what's your normal way of working? Is do you buy just go in one shop and buy 10 cards, or is that too embarrassing? Do you just go to 10 shops and buy separate cards?
It's usually, well, with the dawn of the internet, I've sort of like managed to sort of get those cards sent out online, and you got the got a big Excel sheet which like hadn't got copy paste. Fucking, it's a fucking job, I tell you.
Yeah, good to be organised though.
Yeah,
it's harder work than your Kickstarter, isn't it?
I was on the fucking phone to the old bank manager saying, "Is the fucking loan going to cover this?"
Yeah, flowers to all these places, please. That'd be £2,000.
Oh yes, but as it is, we thought we'd take.
Who needs
a step.
Love when you got the three of us talking to
exactly,
each other?
Exactly. Yeah.
Who needs it?
Yeah. Coming in your ears. That's not my joke. That's a Peter Kay joke.
Hopefully, this will put you in a good mood for the rest of the coming week, or whenever you listen to this. Because I know people listen to it whenever, don't they? Really, I guess
they do.
Whenever you do listen to this, though. We love you, and thank you very much for listening. And because of the time of year, we've been meaning to sort of talk about this in some sort of way for the past few years. And one day, we will get some sort of authority on the subject. Basically, you know what we mean. It's someone to basically be on the show and say, well, actually, you're not right. Because we rarely are.
We don't like those people.
We've talked about a lot of genres in comics. We've pretty much covered most, haven't we, really? But we wanted to cover romance and love in comics. I don't know why I said it like that. The Partridge has already activated.
Partridge early.
Yep. Yeah, because romance, of course, was huge, especially like in the comics boom of 50s and stuff. That was would you say they were the biggest sellers?
Pre-code.
Pre-code. It was romance.
We'll be talking later about a few horror love comics.
So we thought, well, why not talk about that? So we asked the community. We got some recommendations. We got some responses. We got a few different subjects that we're going to talk about, and we'll probably go off on all other kind of directions as well as some wonderful recommendations at the end of the show. But before all that, do you know what I also really really love, guys?
I know what makes me hard. Comic House.
I mean. Feel free, Pete, to put that in your advertising.
Yeah,
if you want to,
T. Esmond
in your future print adverts. But please,
Comic House makes Esmond hard.
Yep, there you go. There you go. 5 stars. But no, our lovely sponsors, Comic House—they've been with us for years now, and we love them. They're an indie comic marketplace based in the UK, but comics from all over the world can get involved. If you go on to comichouse.com, there's a huge selection of titles on their database.
Yeah. Keep talking, the blood's flowing into it as we speak.
Oh my word. I need to finish this sponsorship ad quick before
yeah, just a bit quicker.
Before it ends almost with a bang.
Took him out there, Tony.
Sorry?
Go on. I said you always took him out there.
Yeah. Well, he might do by the end.
Yeah, when.
But they also have an app which is amazing. Loads of comics being added all the time. What sort of stuff is on there at the moment, Dan?
New titles include Stellar Odyssey, Volume 1, Transgenesis, Volume 1, Brute, the Toughest Teddy Bear in the Galaxy, Issue 1, Fanny Galactic.
Yes!
The energy you put into that reading, Dan, you can tell that's the one you really want to read.
I knew that one was coming. He was telling us about it earlier.
The creator on Twitter, and I was like, yep, that title gets me through the doors.
Back
Team
doors.
Stomping Connors, Volume 1. And... Autism Anxiety, Volume 1, Issue 3, Richie, by our friend Sam Webster.
Yes.
He almost done me there, B. But
yeah, I know. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. Yeah, there's all that.
Hand grenade thrown.
There's all that and more that's being added to all the time, including a lot of our past guests, probably future guests and more. So to find out more, whether to check out loads of great indie comics or to sign up for it yourself if you're a creator, because it is worth putting your books on there. Go to comichouse.com and jump in, and also there's a 14-day free trial that you can get. So get stuck in now. Well, Tony, you almost completely ruined that for everyone, but are you all right? How's your blood pressure? How's your blood pressure?
It's going down.
Right, okay, good.
What is, sorry?
Yeah,
this come off the advert, so it's unsurprising.
Yeah, we need your,
got the actual romance.
Tony has lost humescence.
Isn't that a potato?
But before
we... I got a message from Damien Edwardson last week to say you just made me laugh when you said I like badgers. It just made me laugh. So I think, somebody's appreciating it. Thank you, Damien.
Who doesn't like badges? Yeah. Badges are amazing.
Yeah, I like badges.
Before we get stuck into this week's topic, is there anything particularly that we want to talk about? I know there's a few things in the ether.
As you know, we're big Perch fans. YouTube channel Perch, who breaks down and looks behind comics and comics figures and sales. And he did a video which is banging the drum that I've been fucking banging... perhaps inside my own head for a little while.
Do you often bang a drum inside your own head, Dan?
I bang in my head a lot.
Yeah, it's like the Alan Partridge. I've roared at him inside my head. the deconstructing superheroes. I'm just so over it. I don't want to hear it anymore. Like everyone's got a deconstruction story about a superhero, breaking them down, and this is why they do that, and this is my take on it.
I've got a theory about that. My theory is we're getting so many new writers in, they don't know anything about the character. The only way they can write it is by breaking it down and pretending the history hasn't happened.
Yeah.
So we saw that. We saw that 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago in Master of Kung Fu. They ain't got a clue what they're talking about.
Ain't got a clue.
Yeah.
Literally, there's no clue. Just jump in and just start, is it about that?
But Captain America, I can't be bothered to read fucking all those comics. Let's pretend he's been a hobo for all these years. Really?
That's one of the things that annoys me. You shouldn't. When people say you shouldn't be bound by the kind of the canon, don't write it then.
Just ignore the character. Write your own one.
Yeah, write your own project then. If you're not interested in the canon of the character, why are you even taking it on board?
I mean, surely the challenge is like there's this canon that exists, and if you're given the reins of it, that canon exists. But then, if you've got the reins, you can forge your own path. It can become. People may go, oh, that's not like what it was before. But things have to change. But you shouldn't dismiss necessarily what came before.
No. So say for example, I'll use an example. Tony said, Dan, I've kind of like taken Atomic Hercules as far as I'm going to take it. Would you like to take it on? I go, yeah, that's a good shout. The very first issue I take on, Atomic Hercules wakes up in a coma and all that was a dream. And he's living in Manhattan, like running a coffee house. Is that being respectful?
To be honest, it sounds like you've won Tony over with that bitch.
Yeah. Is there fucking involved?
Is that respectful of what's come before? Just like fucking off everything that's come before.
It's just a different book, isn't it? It's just like,
It may as well be just a different book, right? I think once you say, oh no, there's no swearing, there's no sex in it, there's no super violence, there's no irony in it or anything. He's just like, he's a completely changed person who works in a coffee shop. Well, then it's not Atomic Hercules, is it?
Is there anything to be said, and this is just, you know, hypothetical and stuff, is there anything to be said of sometimes a creator taking on a title or a piece of work because that title, the name of it, will look good on their list of credits rather than the actual book.
Of course. Yeah.
I do want to point out one of the points Perch makes on the title is like deconstruction has a place. Alan Moore broke down Swamp Thing and then rebuilt him from probably some scientist that went stumbling into the swamp, and he kind of tweaked that kooky origin to make him like the elemental Swamp Thing, and he broke it down and built it up. But like a lot of the writers just seem to break it down and then I'm off now.
I mean, certainly
about,
like,
I think a
modern sort of big two writer that's doing a lot is Jonathan Hickman. He takes these established things and then he almost surgically takes it apart and then brings it, you know, but he always plays a long game.
Cyclops is still Cyclops, Storm is still Storm, you know.
They are still that, but he is taking these things and doing something different with them rather than just...
I think it does stink to me when you get a new creator in and they think, oh yeah, well, you know, I thought, wouldn't it be great if we put them living in space and stuff, and you know, they're in a society that's this and that, and you think, oh Christ, here we go.
No, I don't.
You don't know anything about it, do you? And the worst thing is they're so confident now, they actually admit they know nothing about the previous, you know.
Less should this be them not getting the job.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you have to know about a subject to be able to get the job to do it, to be fair. call me old-fashioned.
But as always, we always hope for the best, don't we? Because like Tony, you will always buy that Master of Kung Fu, no matter what.
May I buy the variants? I bought the Ron Lim variant. Yeah, I bought the Aliens variant.
That's because you're a fucking idiot.
Do you know what? I will, because I love the character so much. And
hang on, did you say Ron Lim variant for what?
Yeah, Master of Kung Fu.
Master of Kung Fu.
Ron Lim did a variant.
Yeah.
Oh well, fair play.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'd like to see him take it on, actually.
I tell you what, he's a fucking penciler that doesn't get enough shout-outs.
Is X-Men 2099? I reread that run recently, and it's good, you know. It's all right. Silver Surfer run was good.
Yeah. We talk about, like, everyone has their Spider-Man artist or things like that. Like, for instance, my Spider-Man artist is Mark Bagley. It just is.
Yeah.
And not for the Ultimate stuff, when he was doing the 616 stuff. Silver Surfer, for me, is Ron Lim.
I get that, man. He was on it for a long time.
Yeah.
That was a good run, a good solid run that was for me. Mm. Yeah. Speaking of love affairs, do you remember the Ultimate Comics version of Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver?
Oh, mate.
I'll tell you what, that's an example of a title that seems to forget everything that happened in the first two series.
Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, they're brother and sister, but let's have them fucking each other.
Yeah.
We've mentioned this before, but then like they got like a bootleg pornographic movie of Iron Man and Black Widow having sex, and then they're projecting it on the screen because they bought a pirate copy, and all the Avengers are sitting there while it's on. It's like, what?
Yeah,
we're fucking smoking crack. What are you fucking doing?
I mean, I must say, I would say that's a weird segue, but it seems very on brand for the type of segue that will get us on to talking about love. Cupid and all of the appropriate sound effects that I will never edit in because it's too much work.
We were going to start with two questions, weren't we? Should we start with those two first?
Let's kick off. Yeah.
So the first one is I posed you guys early in the week is who are comics number one couple? Shall I start off?
Oh, I mean to narrow it down to number one is brutal, isn't it? Really,
You're throwing a lot on the fire there, but I'm going to say for me, Reed and Sue, FF.
Yeah, you can't. I can't really argue.
I was pretty much going to say that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay.
I mean, also, if we're talking about the purity of romance in the sense of like, and this is a thing that I think happens with a lot of romantic angles in comics and stuff. I am a soppy romantic. I love a romance angle. I love romantic comedies. I love all. I'm so all about like character interaction like that because I think it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And it sometimes gets me how it's like these two characters get together. Yes, yes, this is awesome. And now we're going to make their life hell. What?
Yeah.
Why? why are they miserable? Why are they trying to kill each other now? Whereas I think, and I know obviously, Sue and Reed over what 50, 60 years, there's been ups and downs, but the basis of it is a strong, loving relationship.
Yeah, I think if you said to me who's the most romantic couple in comics, I wouldn't say them, but no. I would say who are the most important couple in comics, then it's them to me.
Yeah,
because there's a certain father mother figure thing going on, isn't there, as well?
They've got a kind of like a marriage going on where like you don't have to be declaring love for each other every 5 minutes.
Yeah, and he probably doesn't, because that's the kind of guy he is, isn't it?
Yeah, he's all about the kind of
getting on with his work.
I know they get on, like there's an impending galactic threat. I don't have time to sort of say, oh Sue, thanks for cooking my breakfast this morning. You know, he's kind of cracking up.
Or what the fuck? Where did that come from?
Or other opinions? Yeah.
No, but like when he first see like early depictions of Reed Richards, he's always doing the fucking dirty on Sue. But it's like absolutely,
he's always forgetting about her, ignoring her.
Always forgetting her, ignoring her. Yeah,
yeah.
He's always in the lab. And I don't have time.
And she's
for
blatantly the most powerful character in that team.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's like So they're not romantic, but they kind of, they're the parents of the Marvel Universe in a way for me. That's how I kind of feel a little bit about it, because they were kind of the first-ish, weren't they, you know? And they sort of are ever-present. I know that, sadly, the Fantastic Four comes and goes a bit these days, but they were ever-present for so many years.
I guess it's almost like a safe comics relationship, isn't it? Because like a lot of it is...
Namor.
But in terms of like... They're the man and wife, you know. They're the married couple that have been together for ages, and there's a norm to it. There's a rhythm to it. Whereas, for instance, if you say Cyclops and Jean Grey,
that's
an
dead.
Up and down, and it's all about. And
you
know, they make it a lot of the time. A lot. It's more about the.
Are they actually
and,
in a relationship?
You know, that sort of side of it, before it becomes like an ongoing relationship.
There's a complication to their relationship. I think there might be three people in that relationship at the moment, but yeah.
Because there's always like Emma Frost stuck in her head, and then you got Wolverine.
Well, Emma Frost fucked Namor, didn't she? They had a thing.
Oh, okay.
Namor puts it about there, doesn't
he? He does, doesn't he?
Prince
of Atlantis.
You got Sue and Reed. I mean, other.
Well, the second one for me, V, is would have been Superman and Lois.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys. What do you think?
I was thinking of DC ones. I thought,
That's Clark a lot more Lewis. Of a kind of a kind of loving romantic relationship between the two characters.
Yeah,
I mean, there's always that kind of element going on.
But with that one, that's more of a the classic the sitcom romance. Do you know what I mean? Where everyone wants them to get together.
But
is it as good when they're together? Or is it better when they're...
I think it is. I think the way Bendis, especially at the moment, I think they're a strong couple.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like that. But I think for example, when Byrne started his run and, you know, the early days of Superman and stuff like that, there was... She was as a foil for him, wasn't she? She was as much a character as he was, I think, in Byrne's Man of Steel stuff and all that sort of thing. You wouldn't fuck about with her. And I think that was how she was portrayed in the Donner movies as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I kind of like that. I think she's sort of feisty. In the old days, people used to refer it to spunky, didn't they?
Hmm.
You know, sort of kind of female, and he's the big boy scout. You know, and I like that relationship.
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, for the drama one, you're going to look at Peter Parker and MJ.
Yeah,
that is the kind of like 1 minute they're like all together, next minute it's broken up, and it's all kind of it's kind of like a soap opera, isn't it? In that regard, like Spider-Man, like the young aiming at the beginning, where like the younger teen audience, and Peter would be like going out with someone 1 week and then someone else the next week, and it'd be a bit like Archie and Riverdale, like Betty and Veronica with Gwen.
Betty and Veronica MJ. Comes up a lot in my sort of research this week as like
yeah
the Archie comics as being a lot of what they do is a romance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got to say,
and a lot of time you just think, what do you see in him? Do you know what I mean? With Betty and Veronica and Archie, you just sort of like, really?
Yeah.
And he works at Bumley's. Do you remember?
Well, we've all done that. What?
Yeah.
Well, is there any other one? Is that geezer knocking around with a paper bloody hat on? You wouldn't go with him, would you? Like the fucking Christmas hat. Jughead.
Jughead. He's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. We did used to watch some of the Riverdale TV series.
Oh,
like the wife really liked it, and I used to watch it. But there was a point where it was like, you know, the jump in the shark moment. I was like, this series fucking stupid. And something happened. I was like, I'm done. No
Doesn't
more.
Doesn't he fuck his teacher or something in it?
Then there's all kind of like fucking assassins and God knows. Yeah, God knows what goes on.
I'm out. Good. Okay. Well, that was. Nicely, we all agreed on that one. That was weird, actually. I thought we'd all go different ways with that, but yeah.
Yeah, I kind of got to agree with Reed Richards and so yeah.
You had
a question. Sorry, Vic.
And by the way, for each of these questions and stuff, jump in online, whether it be on our the Twitter thread for this episode or on the Facebook group and stuff like that. Let us know your thoughts on the couples you like or all the romantic angles you like and stuff.
What I was thinking about is we never got. You don't get romance in 2000 AD, really, do you? Well, very rarely.
No. They kept it. I think with a lot of UK comics, they kept them very separate, didn't they? They with the UK audience, they very much like to. You've got your, you know, your Scream over here. You've got your 2000 AD here. You've got your Beano. You know, the battle comics. Occasionally, you would get slight mergers, but even then, the mergers wouldn't last. Probably because the audience.
Hatch, Match, and Dispatch. That's what they call it, didn't they? Yeah.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, that's what they call it. Yeah, when you. So Tornado's numbers aren't selling, so they moved it into 2000 AD. It stayed on the cover for, you know, a while and then sort of disappeared off. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, happened quite a lot.
It sounds brutal when you put it like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Can I mention another couple I meant to mention a minute ago?
Yeah,
is Swamp Thing and Abby Arcane. I actually think at certain points in Swamp Things it's a romance. It's a gothic romance. Yeah. I think I think it depends. It's the couple you want to be together, don't they? And I think they should be together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the reasons I enjoyed it so much is because what did she do? Eat a bit of bark off his shoulder or something and something like that, wasn't it? Something happened rather than having sex.
I can't recall.
Yeah, a tuber off him, I think it
they
was.
They have a child, don't they?
Yeah. Isn't that something to do with John Constantine, though? Isn't he involved in that somehow?
Oh, I can't recall. I'm not too up on that.
But they're a great couple. That's an interesting dynamic, I think.
That brings to mind, like, you know, the unconventional, you could say unconventional couples, but sometimes that's the romances that are the best written. One that springs to mind now, Jesse Custer and Tulip.
Yeah, that's a good one, man. That's almost a tragic love story, isn't it? It's like Romeo and Juliet, isn't it? You know it's not going to end well, don't you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's got true romance vibe where there's this couple that are together and just everything's going to shit around them, that kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she does the dirty on him, and he loses. He loses her for a while, and I mean, you can view series through different lenses. In the same way, you can view Swamp Thing as a love story. You can view Preacher as a love story, really, can't you?
And sometimes it breaks your heart when couples that you like, and then they start having problems.
We imprint them, don't they, with our own intentions to
On the counterpoint to the Fantastic Four. You've got the Ben Grimm, which is he has the tragedy of being he considers himself completely and utterly unattractive, and that kind of romance story is dealt with in the comic, and the aspect of Johnny Storm being like this great looking playboy type character.
You've got the Alicia thing as well, you know,
the love triangle of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I found that really interesting. I found that, I mean, Ben Grimm to me, if I had to say who's the main character in the Marvel Universe, I actually put Ben Grimm above Spider-Man. So I think he's the heart and soul of the Marvel Universe in a way.
Really?
And you feel for him, don't you? This man, this monster and all this sort of thing. You think, Christ, what's he going through, you know?
Yeah. They don't treat him as such, but...
Yeah. And then there's, if you watch Mallrats, all they do is ask Stan Lee what his cock's like.
Yeah, well, that's whole Kevin Smith thing there, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
You used to see like adverts back in the day. I can always remember the Marvel, like tick your boxes for what you want, mail order on the Marvel one. It was always used to be thing that used to stick out.
Yeah,
it's a good series actually. I really like that series. Yeah, Ron Wilson. Yeah, it's good. Doesn't he stay behind on a planet? Doesn't he? He's on an alien planet for a while, and then Thunder's in it, and he does some wrestling and.
That's right. Yeah, the kind of that battle world stays around because he stays on it, and it goes once he leaves.
Yeah, Marvel 2-in-1 was a good series. Marvel 2-in-1. I mean, that's where it jumped out of. But Marvel 2-in-1 with Yancey Street and all this sort of thing, it was good. Mm. Yeah.
Yancey Street Awards. We got one of them.
Yes, we did. What was your question, D?
About writing romance.
Okay.
Have you guys got experience in writing romance, and what kind of things work for you and what kind of things don't?
Yeah, I wrote Peggy, didn't I, in the Hall Chronicles?
Yeah, that was Peggy. Tragic.
Yeah, that was kind of where I wanted to go to. I was intent on making something that was realistic, and that came from a story I'd been told about meeting someone she thought was, you know, the one, and then he left her money on the bedside cabinet, and I twisted it a little bit. Mm. But I think. It's a difficult thing to write. I've not really written anything like that before.
Yeah,
it is very much
kind of unrequited love is very. I think that kind of speaks to us all, doesn't it? Because who hasn't gone through that kind of phase in their life at some point?
You've got to make the characters so that you invest in them, so that you believe in the love story, so that when the tragic element of it happens. So there's that building, there's that, you know, wave of building it up and down again.
I love the slow build to things, like, you know, slow but surely characters like have small personal moments. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a little conversation or character will walk away and like the other character will and the art shows this, like the character looking over their shoulder to look at that person walking away, which will give that reader that sort of like, oh, you know what's going on here.
We've all been there.
Love those moments. In fact, one of my favourite sort of romantic angles is from a strip that's not necessarily known for it, but Liberty Meadows. Frank chose Liberty Meadows. Obviously, that was a hilarious sort of newspaper style strip and stuff. And the main character, there were two sort of mainish sort of characters, as well as the weird and wonderful, like cartoony characters in it. But there was Brandy, which was the classic Frank Cho archetype beautiful woman, and Frank, who was like a vet and quite sort of nerdy, who was pining after this woman but was afraid to tell her. And it slowly built up, and I remember when I was buying the Image comics, it built up to, you know, even the classic there was a wedding issue, and it wasn't their wedding, she was getting married to someone else, but there was always that, you know, the classic romantic angle that, you know, you have to say something before. You know, how does he stop the wedding? But they had those beautiful moments of, like, you know, he thinks he's ruined something, and then he, like, on one of the strips, and Frank Cho's a master at storytelling. A lot of people go, you know, obviously his art speaks for itself, but also he can just tell a good, like, emotion and character and like a focus on things. And I'll never forget when I was sort of reading the Image books, and this Frank sort of hangs his head and walks away, like, really downtrodden. And it was just one panel of Brandy looking over her shoulder at him as he walked away. And it was that, in a reader, moments like that ignite a spark of hope, don't they? With you, like...
No, they get you thinking about it, don't they? Yeah, what do they mean by that?
Yeah. So rather than the, oh, well, you know, there's no chance of that. And to do that and to keep... I think some of the great romances aren't so much sort of like... It was a love told through the ages. It's not completely in your face. It's that, you know, let's build the characters. Because a romance story is a character story, which is you know, I think certainly when it comes to some of the big comics as well and all the smaller comics, the intimate character stories are far more difficult than an end of the world epic.
I think that's important because I think we've gone into this looking at romance comics, but I mean, there's, I mean, and which we will go through in a minute, I'm sure. Mm. But there's an element of romance to nearly everything, isn't there?
Yeah.
Mainstream wise, so the Avengers have got it. You know, the X-Men have got it. Yeah. Superman, Batman, yeah. whatever. You know, there's got to be that element because a lot of the mainstream comics have a soap opera element to them.
Yeah.
And you've got to include it. You know, so everyone's seen,
and
why
certainly
Batman
you
got
have
a
those Shakespearean
you
know? Tropes running through so many stories. Aren't
Betrayal
they?
And
yeah.
You know, and of course, romance was always. One of the main things in with Shakespeare and stuff, so yeah,
and love being a weakness, and you know, you've got that sort of thing as well, haven't you? You know, he let himself down, and
it's an emotion, isn't it? I think I think sometimes when if you boil it down to its essence, beyond the characters of I like it when these two people get together, love is a feeling we can all understand, hopefully, unless you're a sociopath.
It's one of the kind of the core pillars of kind of like where we can all agree on something and come together about it. And I can understand. It's the same way as kind of like loss and sadness. You can kind of
completely get involved there's like, you know, sadness, despair, rather than certainly some comic stories, they resonate with people because, I don't know, of an event, of a trauma, of a spectacular celebration of something that everyone, I was at that gig, I know what that was like. But love is a feeling, and it's very base. Everyone should be able to understand it. And but to get it believable on a comic page is quite tricky, I think.
Well, it's that factor that you alluded to, Tony. You've got to build up the characters.
They've got to exist in a real space, haven't they? Yeah. Yeah.
Why one character would have romantic feelings towards another? What do they see in it? If you've not put in the attributes that another character would find desirable, you can risk coming across as flat.
You can't. You can't. I mean, in my opinion, I don't necessarily think you can tell a convincing love story of, you know, person meets person, they fall in love, by the end of it, blah 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 blah, in one issue. Because I think it's an ongoing thing. I don't, you know, I think sometimes it doesn't have to be. You know, we're not talking volumes and volumes before people get together. But I think it's more believable when
five-date rule.
Yeah, but it, you know, because you, I mean, how believable is it in a one-shot comic to tell a middle and end?
Well,
you know,
I know those romance comics. I've read a couple, and how they get over it is like time jumps.
I think we're seeing it a little bit simplistically there, because I think for me romance comics is stories about relationships as well as falling in love. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was gonna quote one here actually. Have you read anything by, you know, Jeffrey Brown? Do you know him? He does the My daughter's
oh,
Princess Leia.
You've mentioned him a few times in the show.
Yeah, he did three books: A E I O U, Unlikely and Clumsy, which are called the Girlfriend Trilogy, which I recommend actually if you can find them. And that's about the ups and downs of relationships and little moments and stuff. And it succeeds because it's about romance, but it's also extremely personal and has a real sort of credibility to emotion. So everything that happens, you don't necessarily, it hasn't happened to you, but you can view as realistic and, you know, oh, right, I get you. She's a bit unhappy about this and he's upset about this and she's got anxiety about this and he's meeting their parents and, you know, there's that sort of thing. And it's done quite, I mean, he's got quite a sort of simplistic art style, which they're well worth a look. But I have to say, I did a bit of a trawl through Comixology through the romance section today in preparation. I would say probably 75% is manga.
Yeah,
a lot of manga, man.
And certainly we were mentioned quite a few titles on the Twitter, media. Like there was a lot of, you know, and romance from all walks of life.
Yeah, Sam Webster sent it through. Didn't he?
Because I remember a couple of weeks ago, I just thought, oh, you know, are there any decent? And whenever you put a shout out, you can just get a whole list of stuff.
Did a bit of reading up today, and like the whole shoujo manga, I didn't really understand the term or know what it was referring to. And it's actually aimed at like the young teen female, that kind of demographic. And it apparently literally means younger woman. So like a lot of that is aimed at like the romance comics. And as you said, Tony, you go on Comixology. When we do our Wednesday Comixology...
Oh, mate, those books... They're all over. I looked this up, and they're called Harlequin. Have you seen them? The ones with the sort of almost like ready pinky top to them. Yeah. And there's always three or four of them.
Mills and Boone-esque.
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're, I'd look at them. I'd, a quick look, I didn't buy any. I'm not a maniac. But the, some of them are written. Yeah, some of them are written by, yes, you would. Some of them are written by people with Western names. So I'm guessing it's a bit of a combination thing. They look very, they're very simple. And from what I can see, there's a bit of like, you know, three men are vying for a lady's affection there. You know, it's a bit like that sort of thing. It's, I suppose it's a bit like, what's that movie channel that always shows Christmas movies? Hallmark. It's a bit Hallmark to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 But then that's, you know, there's an audience. If you, it's all about knowing your audience. If that's, if people want that stuff, give them that. Yeah, yeah. And you like, and you like creating this stuff, fucking create it for them. Do you know what I mean? It's,
I'll tell you what's odd. Reading up on it, like the, they used to be massively popular in the West, and they fucking just dropped off a cliff in the 1970s when they had to sort of like
I wanted to hear about this. You had a research,
The flower power and the sort of sexual revolution. It just kind of like they went off of a cliff, and I don't know why. Maybe a bit more reading up to see why that was the case.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's,
sales
it's,
just dropped
it's really here. Interesting because generally considered as the first romance comic was My Date that then became Young Romance, I think went into Young Romance, and that was 1947. So, and guess who created it? It was Joe Simon and Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
Who, let's face it, those guys just came back from war 2 years before.
Bloody hell, you know? Yeah.
And they were, they'd already at that point, Captain America had already been created and they come back to him afterwards. And they went straight into doing between 47 and 63. And I mean, they weren't the only people on it. There's a lot of people, but there was a big surge in romance comics because they sold so well. Some of them were selling 5 million copies a month, according to something I read
earlier.
Bloody
hell. If you look at the numbers they're doing today,
yeah,
it's absolutely just blows them away.
And there was people, there was young, the Young Brides, In Love, Young Love, that's a dodgy title, isn't it, let's face it, and included work by Mort Meskin, Bruno Premiani, Jerry Robinson did some. Marvel had a had their own as well. I think we all, you know, we've all probably seen the covers to some of them. Love Romance, My Love, Teenage Romance, Patsy Walker. So Patsy Walker started out as a romance book. So Patsy Walker, who we all know now as Hellcat. Our Love Story. And they had artists like John Romita, Dick Giordano, Gray Morrow, and Jack Kirby again on them. There's some amazing stuff out there. It's just we don't see it as much.
No.
Yeah, but you're right. If that's interesting, Danny, you say that the you know the free love and this is all nonsense, man. You know, that ruined it all. Which is a shame, really, isn't it? I'm a bit of an old softie as well. So it's a bit of a shame.
But then, like Pat Mills, he was saying essentially like the girls comics. I presume dealt with drama and romance comics, drama and romance, as opposed to kind of fighting Germans in the trenches kind of story.
Yeah, robots and Mars.
They were fucking doing great numbers as well.
Yeah.
And they just kind of went the same route, not at the same time period and not for the same causes, obviously.
Yeah.
I wonder what did cause the kind of the downfall of that. I'm sure more of our learned listeners would know the answer to that.
Well, let me ask this then. What's the first romance comic you guys remember reading?
Oh, God.
So then the main reason for it has to be romance. It can't be like, you know, Dark Phoenix Saga or, you know, is Vision going to end up with?
I don't know if it picked up. Maybe Love and Rockets.
That's a good shout, man.
That's one that has...
Tom Stewart mentioned that a few times, didn't he, today? Yeah.
And I know certainly that was... looking on the Twitter,
Dan Whitehead as well. I think
Dan Whitehead, mentioned it as well. Yeah. that's one that I need to read. Actually, that's a gap in my one of the many gaps in my reading.
I've tried it, and I'll admit I appreciate the artistry of it. It just never clicks with me.
Yeah,
every so often I go back in and read a trade and think it's just not connecting for me.
But comics are like music, aren't they? Really?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's very much you like certain bands and things like that.
Strangers in Paradise romance.
Yeah.
Yes. Again, that's another one. Yeah. Certainly one of the biggest indie ones, I think.
Yeah, that's a great book as well, man. He draws the best women, doesn't he? They're not perfect, but they're individual and they're a little bit sexy, even though. Yeah.
They've got characters and they're people. They feel like real people as opposed to kind of a character, as it were.
I was trying to think what mine was, and I'm going to say it was Beauty and the Beast. Does anyone remember that Marvel book?
No.
No.
So Beauty and the Beast.
Not after the TV show.
No, thank fuck. It was.
I used to like that when I was a kid. I think because Ron Perlman's character was called Vincent, though. I was very easy to please.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. So it was written by Anna Senti, art by Don Perlin, and the interiors, but the covers were by Bill Sienkiewicz. And it was a 1984 series, a love story between Alison Blair, who was Dazzler, and Hank McCoy, who was Beast. And I remember thinking, oh, and it sort of span out of... I think there was like a Dazzler graphic novel when she wanted to get rid of her powers or something.
But did you buy it because you were interested in that romantic story then?
No. I like the Beast.
Quote of the week.
Yeah. I think that's probably... I'm not a big romance comics guy. Mm. Oh, totally I'm not. But I think probably the one that moved me the most in recent years was In Waves by A.G. Dungo.
Mm.
Because it's a tragic love story, isn't it?
Yeah. Love and loss go hand in hand a lot of the time, especially with comics, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. I think the thing about Love and Rockets, though, going back to that, Dan, is it's love, it's a soap opera, you know, there's a social commentary element to it, but it's pretty sexy as well.
Mm. Yeah.
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 Definitely.
Yeah, I think certainly with a lot of sort of modern creators as well, there's a lot of grown-up stories, should we say. Not necessarily, I'm not talking like adult comics, but you know, that people are really aiming for like more grown-up relationship sort of tales, aren't they?
Do we have that many small press comics you can think of that do focus on romance and love?
Obviously, I think there's a lot of web comics, aren't there, that are relationship-centric as opposed to...
One of the comics I'm going to recommend later is a Webtoons comic. Obviously, everyone knows Webtoons because it's... What is it, Dan? It's enormous.
It's massive.
It's a juggernaut. So, if you go to the genre section, you can see like all the thumbnails, and it tells you the little green heart, how many likes. I'm guessing, Dan, that's how many likes a strip has had. Am I right?
Yep. Yeah.
Fuck knows, I don't know.
And if you look on average, I mean, you're looking at like, you know, just glancing through them, the slice of life, the action. And this was a cursory glance. I haven't done any calculations because my numbers are shite. But the amount of likes on romance is bigger than any other. If it's below a million, it's because the webcomic has only just started.
Fucking hell.
Yep. And we're talking likes in like a lot of them 33 million for, you know,
how do they monetize that then?
Advertising.
Advertising, yep.
Fucking hell.
And this is, and I was looking through thinking, "Oh, this one doesn't have as many numbers," and there was always the little flash that said new. So it seems that romance is a hugely popular genre within the webcomic field. Yeah. You know, and this isn't to say romance you know, it's all love and roses. You know, normally these are probably tragic stories, sad stories, ongoing relationship stories of all kinds. But I found that quite interesting that a lot of these books are just juggernauts.
Yeah, that's interesting, man. Yeah, when that plays back into the manga thing as well, doesn't it? The age of people reading that. Maybe they just really are into romance comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of... fighting a losing battle in comics in that regard, like manga and anime are just absolutely steamrolling the Western comic books. That's just the way it is.
Can I mention one that might be up your street, Dan?
Yeah, of course.
Have you heard of the comic Alex and Ada from Jonathan Luna and Sarah Vaughan?
I have.
No. Yeah,
a lot of people have talked about that in the past.
Yeah, I've read it. It's good, actually. X5 is Ada. She's a robot, and Alex falls in love with her in a future setting.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like my cup of tea. Yeah.
Yeah, we like sex robots, don't we?
Yeah, hell yeah. one of the best slots on the show.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, a phrase I never want to hear again. Vampire romance. I never want to hear that ever.
It's Twilight, don't they? Yeah.
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 And
they flushed that one, didn't they?
Yes.
Well, they're kind of always like the romantic, the dark romance of the vampire, and that kind of just kind of, it was the nuclear option, wasn't it? It's kind of just damaged the branding of it so much that no one really wants to touch it anymore, which is quite an achievement in itself. I'll tell you what, one thing you mentioned it earlier, Vince, and that was the writers who spent ages and ages and ages getting these two characters fall in love and get together, and as soon as they do, they have no idea what the fuck to do with them.
Yeah.
So instantly break them up or do something like that.
It's historically in other mediums, that's been the death of the fucking show. So they did it in Clark and Lois, didn't they? And they fucking ruined it. Yeah. They did it in Moonlight and it ruined it. You know, I don't know why people keep trying to do it. You know, I just kind of and mouse thing.
But
yeah, that kind of like, there's so much you can do with that. That's a more skilled writer, like if you're a married couple.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is difficult. But you could just have the ongoing trials and tribulations. It's not like, you know, because it's constantly, people seem more invested in the chase rather than when you've caught it. You know? And it is that sort of...
Like Mary Jane doing a bollocks at Peter because he didn't fucking, like, get the milk. And he was off
the rubbish out.
Doing her bollocks, did you say?
But you get to... the comics are real and you get to fuck either Gwen or MJ. Who do you fuck?
So what's the next question we got, Tony?
The next question I've got is... I was going to focus on Tom King. So Tom King focuses in on his relationships, doesn't he? So if you look at Mr. Miracle, Vision, Batman, Strange Adventures, they may be superhero comics, but they focus in on a male-female relationship, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He pushed Batman down the whole getting married to Catwoman.
Oh, God, it's so boring, man. It went on so long, I got so bored.
Didn't happen in the end, did it?
I can't even remember. Yeah, I think I got a feeling that the company pulled it, didn't they? Didn't he get taken off it early? Yeah.
That's to me, that's like, it's kind of like one of the things that could, the idea of it is a lot more interest than the actual execution.
Yeah.
Like, the will they won't there is a lot more interest in them when they get together, for me, at least. But, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a book out of Humanoids called Loving Dead, which is two zombies in a post-apocalyptic world find love as their bodies disintegrate.
I mean, that's an indie movie, isn't it? Fucking, if ever I've heard one.
Yeah.
It's weird how much they can spin zombies, like, because he thought, like, a rotten deanimated, animated corpse. Like, what can you do with that? And then they've done, like, they did that zombie romance one where the zombie comes back to life and Romeo and Juliet, was it? I can't remember the fucking name of it. It was based on that.
Yeah. Zombievers, was that it?
I tell you one technique this effective for like making relationships like have more of a kind of dynamic kind of come together, as it were, is you have them starting off hating each other.
Because
there's a lot more of a swing from hating each other to liking each other to loving each other, as opposed to if they were just, oh, we quite like each other, oh, we'll go out.
Yeah. It's like a porno with no lead. It's like a porno with no story. I like a bit of story in porno. Do you know what I mean?
Bare minimum story.
Jesus Christ. Is that the name of one?
I mean, we keep teasing that erotic comics. We haven't actually gone into that. We've wound each other up by sending pictures from
When we said we're going to do a romance comics, the first one was I sent you a picture. I said, I found one. And Vince was like, oh, brilliant. And I sent it, and it was just a picture of an orgy.
Basically, folks, it's just these two sending absolute fucking grot. It's just fucking rolling my eyes emoji constantly as these two are laughing at each other.
My favourite bit about that is I sent that, and Dan's reply was, I wish comic conventions were like that.
Yeah. We're sharing a room at Thought Bubble, Dan.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's a question for you. What recent years has been a non-manga, non-webtoons, non-webcomic comic that has been a critical and, to a certain extent, a sales success that is about love? Can you think of one?
It is about love.
Yep.
Oh, God. It's always these on-the-spot questions that I just think, there's bound to be... I always think there's bound to be one, but I can't think of one.
I know, it's hard. Your mind's there's so much out there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Any ideas, D?
No idea at all.
I'm going to say, you'll know when I say it, Sex Criminals.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
So there are a couple who find that they can stop time when they ejaculate, but they are a couple. So it's kind of that central premise, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, and that becomes like a bigger sort of a relationship story anyway, doesn't it, as it sort of goes along.
To be fair, I read the first trade and it got a bit samey for me and I dropped off. I probably will go back and read it at some point.
Yeah, I've read the first trade and I was like, this is okay, it's not for me. Do you know what I mean? I was like you, Tony.
It was all right. I thought it was going to be this big sort of cosmic, galactic, you know, more cocky and universe-spanning mystery, and it just turned out that when they ejaculate, they stop time, and I'm like, oh, all right, okay, so it's exactly the title. Yeah.
I do like using you two as sounding boards, as you well know, because I read a title and I'm thinking, I'm not sure about this, so I'll feel this way or that way, and then the you two sit, and then you sort of say, oh, I think this, and it's like, yeah, that's pretty much what I thought too.
Yeah.
We easily influence each other, don't we? That's the thing. Yeah.
I know one particular comic book that I actually bought for the romance, and it just really fucking pissed me off.
Here we go.
I think we mentioned it at the time. I wasted my fucking money on the wedding issue.
Punch you down. Oh,
of
Christ.
Colossus and Kitty Pride.
Oh, man.
That fucking really... That
10-year period of the X-Men around that time was so fucking terrible. Oh, it was an absolute mess. I'm glad it's been pulled back round, although I think they're releasing too many titles at the moment. But, oh, since Hoxpox, it's been all right, you know?
Hmm. Yeah.
It was a mess back then.
Yeah. There's always the ups and downs. Hoxpox, that's quite fun.
Yeah. That was another good couple, wasn't it? Like, you wouldn't necessarily put Kitty Pryde and Colossus.
Yeah, but I was all about it.
But it really worked out.
Claremont wrote some great... There's a moment with him and her sitting on the top of a hill and discussing whether or not they should see each other, and it's probably some of the best written comics I've read around that time, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's about issue 198 or something like that, but it was so good, and he was so on top of it, and it was a little bit dodgy because Colossus was a fully grown man from Russia, and she was... I think a high school girl. Really, let's face it.
Yeah.
But it was, there was a, because she was brighter than him, and there was a genuine sensitivity to it, I think, back then. And then you're right, though, Vince, they did that, and then, of course, they just forget about it straight away, don't they? And
yeah, just forget about it.
Also, yeah, that period of with Wolverine and, was it Yuriko when he was going out?
Mariko.
Yeah,
that was good. That was good. The Paul
the
Smith stuff.
Relationship there.
Yeah, that was lovely. A really interesting time. Yeah.
Yeah. They just fucking. And the thing is, I think if you were writing, it harkens back to that. Sometimes a writer can have their heart in a real sort of relationship or whatever, and then they move on to another title. And the next writer or creator might just be like, I don't really like it. And they just.
Yeah, I think we've gone from those days where, you know, in general, writers don't tend to stay about as long as they used to. But.
I think probably one of the more consistent ones, and I don't read any of it. I mean, because a lot of like big two characters, their relationships are on and off. The only one I've seen recently that seems to be consistent is it Wiccan and Hulkling?
Oh, okay, yeah.
They've been together for a long time, and they do. Mm. Yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff like that. And that
yeah, Empire pretty, played on that a bit.
Yeah,
yeah. And read Empire,
and that seems pretty consistently and well done. You know, that feels like
a
proper
couple. It's believable, isn't it? Yeah.
And they don't mess about with it because it's strong. So I don't. Whereas, you know, some of these other relationships, they just don't treat them with respect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Here's a question for you then. Which two characters, let's say DC characters, which two characters, their relationship is a part of the overarching story that has been going on for decades? So the fact that they are these destined to be lovers story has been going on for decades.
Are we talking this a fact or our opinion?
No, it's actually part of the story.
Oh, right. Batman and Joker.
Batman Batman and Talia. Always kind of...
Well, yeah, a little bit, but this is more sort of mystical, I suppose.
Superman, Wonder Woman?
No.
Hawkman
and Hawkgirl.
Ah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
So they're through the generations. They appear, you know, they're destined to be together, aren't they, as they go through.
Yeah.
You know, there's one of them in the Wild West.
That's a series that, you know, I don't, you know, or characters that I don't know enough about. And because they look so similar, half the time they look like brother and sister.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean, though? Yeah. If you just initially look at them,
Yeah, it could do. I see what you mean. Yeah, the Geoff Johns run. Really... If you get the Geoff Johns and the Robinson stuff, they did. I think JSA was going on at the same time. Yeah. Really good. Chaykin does a bit on it. Yes. Sorry, Simonson does a bit on it. Really good.
They've never really appealed to me, those two characters.
Just... Right.
Yeah.
But the people that like them really like them. Don't
they? Oh yeah, there's all this mythology going back to the recent series. Is really good. I have to say, really good.
They had to do that because there's so many iterations of them. That...
Yeah, I think it's like a legacy thing. So you go all the way back to ancient Egypt with them, and you know they're destined to find each other. And
what characters it's an interesting... do you think? Obviously, you know, no character should be held down because of any romantic angle or love storyline, and you know, unless your comic is all about just romance. But if you're talking about characters, no character should be just locked down to that because we're not the sum of our romantic relationships or anything like that. But in terms of comics, when especially some of these more bigger or more popular characters and storylines, when does it suffer when there's not romance in it? For instance, you know, say Swamp Thing. Does Swamp Thing without those two characters interacting, is it a vastly different story than when...
I think I see Swamp Thing as a lonely character. So the intervention of this love story warms me a little bit. You know, I enjoy seeing him happy, but he's destined not to be.
Yeah.
And that's been a story thing that's happened a couple of times in Hellblazer as well, isn't it? Yeah. You know, a couple of those sort of things.
But you also get a thing of like people have romantic leads or interests for them literally to be built up to be killed off.
Yeah.
The further isolate characters.
Yeah.
And like I don't think that's a bad practice or a good practice. It's a storytelling practice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think if you're sometimes sorry, man. Are you gone?
Well, if you're introducing a character purely for that reason, fair enough. I mean, that's fucking happened to virtually most comic book characters going, hasn't it? Like certainly like a 1980s action film trope. Suddenly Charles Bronson's going out with someone 30 years younger than him. I don't know what's going to happen here.
I do think sometimes romance is forced. I do think sometimes we don't need it. And I think these days it seems to be coming from the fan community. I mean, how many times did I see a Captain America Bucky fucking drawing online about them getting off with each other?
That is frustrating. That's wish fulfillment. It's that shipping of characters, and because men and women,
that's right,
men and women can be friends. And men can be friends, and women can be friends. And just because someone's friendly with someone, they instantly transform it into like a loving relationship of a sexual.
Just because you've got a bond, it doesn't mean you're going to fuck each other.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's a bit, almost a bit childish in a way.
Yeah. If it was your own characters and people are doing that, as long as it, I think, and a lot of creators have the right sort of mind to just sort of say that's lovely. And then they just get on and keep on creating what it is. Do you know what I mean? Because it's, you know, when things like that become a problem is when the creator of whatever it is still going down the route that it was always going down. And because it doesn't go the way you want it to go, some people go the psychopathic. Like, oh, God, these two characters aren't together. I'm going to kill you. Get a life.
They do I know.
You know.
What do you call it? Annie Wilkes from fucking Misery.
It's exactly that, isn't it? Yeah, it's the Wilkes syndrome. That's what we should call it. It's it's totally that.
There's some titles where I kind of like it. I like matchmaking. I used to read Legion, and I still do. Well, it's about to end. And I like matchmaking those characters, so you know who's going to be with who in that. And I kind of like that stuff, like Brainiac and Supergirl and all this sort of thing. It's good. Yeah, it's what it's designed for. It's a soap opera, isn't it? You know.
That soap opera element.
I also think that sometimes a romantic angle is sometimes used, and for most of this people, we're usually talking about the bigger publishers here. A romantic angle they give to a character because they don't know what else to do with them, which I think is a disservice to a character a lot of the time.
Yeah, but not every story needs a romance angle in it. One of the things I like. We hate to bring in comics films when we're talking about comics, but like now they realize they don't in TV series and films they don't have to have romance in every single fucking TV series or film. Do you know what I mean? Like if it's a theme exploring the end of the world, we don't need some bloke to fucking start romance in some the female lead or whatever, because that's not the theme of the film or the theme of the piece. We don't always need romance, and
I always need love in my life. You know me, I'm all about the love.
Yeah.
But like, you've never written a romance story. That's interesting, Vince. You are, you know, if you're into it.
Yeah,
and...
I've been thinking about it. I even said, I think a couple of years ago, it was just one of those tertiary Twitter comments. I'd love to make a romantic comedy, you know, a comic. But it is, like I say, I like the getting to know the characters' stories, you know, the long form, you know, yeah. Tales, rather than, I'm going to do a 4-issue miniseries about a love story. For me, it's like, it'll be something else, and there will be a romantic storyline in it. You know,
yeah.
I prefer that sort of thing, like, you know, you have a team of characters, and then two of them are attracted to each other. And, you know, that develops, and it could be, you know, and it could play out. But, like all stories, sometimes when you get to know the characters, and as it goes on, sometimes you may believe in the story more, you know, that might help. You know, I think sometimes the interpersonal relationships between two characters can really connect you to a story in terms of writing and stuff. And this isn't just romance, this is just in general, you know, if two people become great friends.
There's nothing more than I like. I mean, some of my best memories of teen books are Buddy, you know, Wonder Man and the Beast and stuff.
And I think as soon as, I think when characters have connections, it makes them more fun to write, you know. Because, and the creator, whether it be the writer or the artist, or if you're doing everything in between and stuff, there are so many things between the lines, in the margins, at the back of your head that your readers will never ever know, but you know what your characters are thinking on those two panels. Do you know what I mean? It's the sometimes it's the unspoken that when it comes to. It's quite fun from a creator's perspective when they're like, I think these two characters like each other, and you can go, well, you just have to keep reading.
where for you is the line between romance and erotic? Is it because it has nudity and sex in it, does that stop it being a romance comic?
No, I don't. You know, if the romance is. I mean,
that's a real tricky one. Tony.
Erotic,
yeah,
is
isn't
the,
it? Yeah, it's a
I
very
think when
broad
it becomes
question.
Erotic,
yeah.
It's the content rather than the story. I think.
So the difference between a porno and a love story is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think.
So is 50 Shades of Grey a love story or not?
If it is, you need to fucking.
Never read it.
So you need to talk to someone.
But it is though, man. They do fall in love, don't they? Yeah, I've not seen it to be fair already.
Yeah, I think, and I haven't read it. You know, but it's not. I don't think from what I know, it doesn't sound like a healthy relationship, but. But yes, but certainly, it's the content. Erotic is the content, isn't it? You can still tell a convincing, believable love story. That just and certainly, there's a lot of it out there. There's a lot of creators and wonderful artists that are doing that.
But we're not kids, though, are we?
Yeah.
We know it's going to end in fucking.
I might be a bit rude. Yes. If I'm reading about two characters and I've got a genuine affection for the two of them, they fall in love, I'm not sure if I particularly want to see them having sex on the page. Do you know what I mean? That kind of it breaks the kind of the romantic.
Yeah.
Kind of thing of it.
Don't you want that conclusive
idealization?
I don't. Yeah. I don't think you necessarily.
No, it depends how you visualize it, doesn't it?
Despite maybe. All of the artists who are probably being asked to draw it at conventions, how many people really want to see Lois and Superman going out? That's a really crude way to put it. I'm sorry, everyone. But,
there's pictures on the internet, so just go look.
I remember when the first Superman movie was out, I'm old enough to remember it, there was a documentary on ITV or BBC about Superman comics and this sort of thing, and they had some scientist on. I'll never forget this. As a kid watching it, going, what the fuck is he going on about? And he would say, no, it's semen. If he fired his semen into her, it would kill her because he's Superman. Yeah. And I was thinking, oh, yeah. And it always still plays in my mind, how do they bone? You know what I mean?
There is a kryptonite condom.
That's true.
Sometimes I just think people just need to get a grip of themselves.
It's got to be a boner killer, though,
isn't
it?
Because it's like, it's a man flying through the fucking sky from another planet.
I know.
There is an article someone wrote online years ago. I haven't read it in over 10 years, about what happened if Superman had sex with Lois Lane, and it's about like his sperm flying through the city, like leaving these traces and trying to force it, like impregnate women, it was really overly detailed and like tried to be as scientific as possible.
I thought I'd delete
horrific
that.
I do actually. I think the only kind of romantic relationship I've got going on at the moment in is one in Vanguard with two like William and Guy, and one of them gets like absolute like horrible turn of fate and loses everything and gets essentially sold into slavery, and his other half, who's kind of like a recruitment agent, as in he gets people corporate gigs, and if you don't accept the corporate gig, he'll take you out, and he kind of drops everything to come and go and get him, and they go through sort of like hell and high water, but eventually get back together, and they said, now I've got back, I've been saving money, so me and you can go to Europe and fuck all this off. And the other one, Guy, who's kind of got invested in the cause, says, I'm not going, I've got to stay. And his partner William says, because you'll stay and I'll stay too. So
it's an interpersonal relationship, isn't it? That is complicated because nothing's ever simple, is it?
I think that's what I like to see. I like to see the complications that do arrive, even be it transported into a superhero or a horror or a fantasy element. You know, Saga's a prime example of that. You know, it's a relationship, and they've got mother-in-laws and father-in-laws.
You know,
but I do think that a lot of, and I only got this through the scan of Comixology that I did today, that romance comics seem a little bit juvenile to me at the moment. They're a bit
maybe.
They don't explore the real emotions of people. You know, I don't need them to be Hanif Qureshi, but I just need them to be a bit more than OMG and running around screaming. You know,
and also. At the same time, back in the day, you know, when the classics are then, were they really indicative of real romance? I mean, certainly.
Well, funny enough, I was looking through some of the titles today, and I was of the opinion, I agree, that was what my opinion was. And then I saw a couple of titles in there, and there was one called My Husband's Other Wife was one of them. And I thought, oh, hello. And then there was one about he wants me, he's forcing me, no, he's pressuring me into doing something, or something like that was the title. And I'm like, hang on. And I thought maybe there is a bit more. I mean, I think you're right. I think there are a lot of it was go-go boots and discos, and he's a good tennis player and all that sort of blah. But the some of it, I think, in the same way that postcode romance had to play on adult emotions, in the same way that postcode horror had to be well written to be frightening, so did the romance. You know, I think there was a bit of that going on.
I mean, speaking of postcode, certainly on one of our Twitter responses. Alan Harvey, he posted some great romance covers by Nick Cardy, and they are great covers.
I love Nick Cardy, man.
Girls love stories. How could he do it? He's telling them our secret. That sort of stuff. But the one that got me was Young Romance, approved by the Comics Code, and it just says, My Mother, My Rival.
Oh, yes, I saw that one. Yeah, I've seen that porno. I think Tanya Tate's in it, to be fair. Yeah.
I love all those kind of like lines on the front of those comics.
I think like when it comes to like romance comic stuff, romance comics have some of the classic sort of will make you smile covers in the light of day. I mean, probably there's lots of them that are deeply wrong, but there are these little moments because of the nature of them. They have that sort of that kitsch factor.
They've really got to get you in like that, because if every issue is like a new romance and a different set of characters, that cover hook has to be strong.
Yeah.
Because you can't identify. They're kind of like generic blank templates, aren't they, the characters, until you kind of like press on, like the kind of Hello and all those other kind of magazines you find down the supermarket.
We got a couple of comments. Let's see, we've been talking about it. We love it.
So I've got one here actually. So I mentioned the Ludology one.
Yeah.
Ludology, one of our favourite people. He said, I think Tony was talking about a comic just about wanking. and I was. Thank you, Ludology. And it was called The Playboy by Chester Brown. Oh. And I talked about it the day that we had. First time we had... Who did we have in from Thought Bubble? Chloe, wasn't it? I think it was Chloe. Yeah. I remember because you were texting me going, oh, we've got Chloe in Thought Bubble. You were talking about a wanking comic. It's...
I have read comics that are a load of wank.
Oh, we all have. We'll have to do another episode about that in the future. We had that comic smell responded. When we put the shout out. Some of their favourite relationships, etc. Mr. Miracle and Big Barda, for sure.
Yeah.
And do you know what? That was one of the joys of the Mr. Miracle book, is seeing that couple as a couple.
She was a big girl, but sexy. That's what I'm going to say.
The dynamic between those two, I think, is brilliant. Also, they said, we would be remiss if we didn't mention the many romances found in the pages of Love and Rockets.
Yeah.
The Sculptor is a Tale of Death and Romance by Scott McCloud.
Yeah.
Blue is the Warmest Colour by Julie Moreau.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
A Tale of Ultimate Heartbreak and Whirlwind Romance, all beautifully rendered. David Boring, An Exploration of Obsessive and Incestuous Love.
I talked to Tom about that one, and it is, we did an episode on that, and that is some fucking weird nightmarish stuff where they're stuck on an island and there's a bit of fucking going on and they think the world's ended. Jesus. Yeah, so it's Klausy, and Klaus does that all the time, doesn't he?
I Love This Part by Tilly Walden.
Yeah.
Scenes from an Impending Marriage by Adrian Tomine.
I've heard it's Tomine now.
Tomine. I don't know. Adrian Tomine.
But you read that, didn't you, V? Didn't you talk about that about a year ago?
No, I didn't read that one.
What was the one you read then?
I can't remember. I've read so much. It all bleeds out my nose. They said there's endless amounts from DC and Marvel through the years by Jack Kirby, Joe Simon, Stan. I mean, this is just the Comic Smell guys just showing their knowledge. Of course, which they've got loads of, so you should check out that Comic Smell podcast.
I wrote down the ones that Sam Webster mentioned.
Oh, yes, please do, and I'll follow them up with this next one. Go on, follow. Yeah.
Fruit Basket. Sounds weird. Watakai, Fly Me to the Moon, Erased, Love Hina, Anohana, and Nisekoi False Love. I haven't read any of them, so I'll take his word for that one. Yeah.
Heard of two of them, Love Hina and one of the first ones.
Oh, you've read them, have you?
Not read them, but I used to work in Waterstones many moons ago, and I remember I used to be in charge of doing the comic books, obviously, as filling my remit, and I remember stocking Love Hina.
Oh, okay.
And that was, God, over 10 years ago.
Right, okay.
So that's a long-term, big title. Yeah,
Jesus Christ, those sort of things scare me. Also, following up on that, at Z Klingon Smith said, I just realised how similar they are. Waco plus Meguru, my androgynous boyfriend, Fluffy but Sweet, and Levi plus Hanyu. The people are laughing at the way we're probably saying these things, actually. Secret playlist on Webtoon. Both recommended then. They're also saying that I'm working on a Princess Saves the Prince sci-fi story and a strong but they already have a strong already existing relationship the world is trying to pry apart. Look forward to seeing that. You have to show us that when that comes out. See, that's really interesting. What are the ones we got here? I mean, Love and Rockets came up
quite Dan and White said that as well, didn't he?
Sam did say about that Love Hina, he did mention all that time ago when he replied to me, Love Hina might have created the trope of, and I want to know what you guys think of this trope, I promised to marry this girl when I was a child, but I don't remember her name or face.
Oh, God. I've had slept with a lot of women whose names I've forgotten, but yeah.
Class. So, yeah, there's so much out there. I think, I'd love to certainly find out more about the history of sort of the romance genre, and someone must have
it has to be good for me. It has to involve something else. It has to involve something adult. If it's just cutesy shit, I think I'm going to shit my pants and throw up. But
really,
I don't think we're target demographic.
We're not, are we? No.
Well, I might be.
I mean, I'll watch a romantic comedy as much as the next fella, but I just if it's just an anger about romance, ain't for me, baby. I've got to tell you,
ain't for you, baby.
Just put a robot in it.
It's robot fucking in it. I read a load of heavy metals today. There's a lot of Manara stuff in there. Do you know what I mean? It's
my word. Yeah.
Richard Corbin. That's romance for me. Richard Corbin.
Losing
their shit on Manara's fucking Spider Woman cover. It's like, go look at these whales he's drawn.
You think that's bad?
Yeah. Fucking heart failure.
I love the fact that Dan's like slightly away from his mic. It just sounds like he's sort of crawled up in a corner.
Sorry, yeah, I've got this bloody. I'm on the headset because crappy intro webs again.
Ah, right, no worries.
We can all hear you, Dan, so it's fine.
Yeah, we can. It's fine.
Yeah. I'll be bet some guy was supposed to be ring me by Friday and he didn't. So I'm going to fucking rain down fury on the phone. No, I'm just going to ring up and say, oh, I called you last week. You didn't get back.
Yes, I'd like to make a formal complaint. Yeah.
Did you like your job?
Oh, dear.
I'm going to get you fucking sacked, Sonny Jim.
Do you know who I am? Have you heard of the Awesome Comics podcast? We'll ruin you.
No one has.
Nobody.
Apart from you lovely five people listening.
I was in the kitchenette at my work the other day and I was chatting to the lady from reception. She said,
oh, who's put that kitchenette?
Yeah, I said, who's put that postcard up for a podcast? I said, that's me. I've been telling you about it for years.
Yeah.
There you go. Did she not listen? Easily impressed.
Are they a listener?
Probably still would. No, don't think so.
I don't tell people about it because, like, just don't want to go for the awkward thing of, like, oh, I'll give that a listen. It's, I know you won't.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Let's not go through this charade, please.
a friend of mine, you've met him actually, Guy. He said he messaged me the other day. Met him at the foyer. Do you remember my mate Guy from work? I used to work with him.
Yeah.
And he messaged me saying, oh, my missus just heard me playing your podcast. She said, what's Tony doing?
A lot of people ask that.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. But this is
this has been a
fun dalliance in the world of romance. We didn't get too sexy, did we? I don't think we did.
Always.
No, we didn't want to spoil the the erotic episode.
Yeah, don't ruin that. We just kept it romantic
really
and light.
I really don't know how to feel about that.
This is more the sort of Sandra Bullock episode.
I don't know how to feel about that. Although I will say the proposal is an absolute fucking banger of a film. Love that film.
The one with the bloke from Deadpool and they go away to Canada or something?
Yeah. Class. Absolute fucking class.
Is that the one where the eagle steals her phone and then they land up naked together?
Yeah, and then it steals a dog. Anyway.
That's right.
No spoilers for that, but I know you should watch it because it's great. Yeah, there's so much love in this room.
Last Tango in Paris, that's a good romantic film.
No, it isn't. It certainly puts you off butter. But speaking of things that weren't uncomfortable to watch, we were reminded of, and you just mentioned it just then, the 2000 AD 40th was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
4 years?
That was in 2017.
4 years.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, because.
That's where they announced the Judge Dredd TV show.
Yeah, because Owen mentioned it the other day, obviously. Owen Michael Johnson?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And and then all of a sudden, although you guys mentioned it, I thought, bloody hell, 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts.
Crazy.
My one popped up on my Facebook memories thing. So I didn't
know. You sent the link through. It's nice, man. Yeah. So, yeah. Mm. We had a great day that day.
Mm. Oh, man, it was brilliant. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was just.
And I got to mention furries in front of about 400 people and then point at Vince.
You didn't you didn't point at me. You looked in my direction. And that was enough.
And we had the pitching stories to Pat Mills at Wagamamas.
That's right. Cat and his Vince. Vince and his cat army.
Fucking just ruined my rep with that man that day.
That went down like a lead balloon.
I mean,
what do you mean he's hired you?
How I managed to get the fucking spacewalk gig is beyond me.
Loved it.
Although there is going to be a cat army strip in the second issue. No, there isn't.
Well, speaking of places you can pitch for stories, Sarah Harris has posted up the anthology guidelines. So you can have a look for them in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
You're thinking of pitching.
Join the community on Awesome Comics Talk and the Facebook group because it's a great group of people.
It is a community project.
Yes.
Yes.
It is a community project.
It's a family.
You're part of the community, you might not
project.
Get in.
Yeah. But I mean, saying that, with that in mind, though. It isn't one of that. This is a genuine comics product. This isn't just in jokes.
No, it's not exactly. We want experimental, interesting stories. We don't want we don't want jokes about Tony taking a shit in the top of his trousers.
Yeah, because it was born from the drink and draw. It was came about from that.
I want it to be brilliant, man. I want it to be amazing. Yeah,
yeah, and it will be with Sarah at the helm. Do we have any other shout outs, gents?
Oh, a couple. So we just mentioned him, Alan Harvey, who a listener. I was chatting to Alan. Alan worked on a book called Atlas at War, which I reviewed over on the site, neverironanything.com. He did the art restoration on a load of the pages, and I was chatting to him, and he mentioned, "Oh, have you read the book?" And, he said he offered to send it to me, and he very kindly sent me this lovely hardback book. And it is, I would go through and give you my favourite stories, but they are all absolutely amazing. And he has restored some pages from, you know, war comics from many, many decades ago, and they look fresh as a daisy, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's an amazing book. Thanks to Alan for sending that through. I've, in my lockdown comics situation, I've got two deliveries. I've got one through from Strange Apparitions. What a great comic shop they are. So I just messaged him out of the blue. I chat to him quite a lot. I said, "What gold you got in for me at the moment, geezer?" And he sent me a load of photographs, and I said, "Oh, we'll have that, and that," and he sent them through 2 days later. Really good. And thanks to Delia, who I bought a load of Bronze Age comics from the other day. We spoke on Skype, and she held up the comics she had for sale. They're only cheap things. And I said, "Yes, please, no thanks, yes, please, no thanks," and then she posted them through to me. Brilliant. That's how you do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Dan, do you have any shout-outs?
I do. Mahoney's, The Last Stand.
Oh, it's on Kickstarter.
Action comedy set in a bar for supervillains. Mahoney's may be a hive of scum and villainy, but they serve the best beer in town. By a friend of the show, Rich Carrington. And that's going absolute great guns on Kickstarter. And if you're kind of behind, because I think this is the fifth Mahoney's book. Fourth.
Yeah.
There's so many levels where you can get up to date, getting print or digital. And I'd suggest checking Mahoney's out. It's absolutely solid. Great. And the kind of the writing art just go from strength to strength. Go check it out.
Cool.
That's Mahoney's The Last Stand.
It's a great series, that one.
It seems to be a bit quiet for Kickstarters at the moment.
I guess with the new year, isn't it, really?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
You're about to talk about one I can't wait to get my hands on, and I've seen photos of it going out in the post.
Oh, yeah, so. Okay. Yeah.
I've got to talk to one I got a Kickstarter from.
So. Oh, nice one. I got two this week, guys. You got two, V, haven't you?
Yeah, I do have two.
I've got one, so you want to do one each, then me.
You
can
be in our sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, my word. Yes, it's time to recommend some comics and all kinds to check out this week. How do we want to do this, Tony?
Do I go first?
Go on.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about... It's running the page. Pardon me. So I'm going to talk about Puno Altiplano Volume 2 from Gustavo Vargas. Yeah. I just before we began, I sent you two guys one of the double... But there's a couple of double-page spreads in it, and fucking hell, honestly. I suppose technically it's kind of in play for this episode because there is an incident with a strap-on in it. Quite a nasty looking one. There's something that goes on there. So this is a new one from Gustavo. It should be hitting... I got a preview copy of it, but it should be hitting your mailboxes and your actual mailboxes any day now. I saw some footage of him, I think on Instagram, of him trudging off in the snow. I think he lived in Edinburgh, didn't he?
Yeah.
To post these.
What a ledge.
Yeah, top bloke. Set in the future in Peru. Starts with a small town being... pushed about and questioned about something by a sort of military police. Now, the image you see on the front of the book, I'm sure you've seen it, is kind of a robot police hound, P3RRO. And it's a vicious fucking police robot dog, sort of quasi-military doggy type thing, you know. And it starts with a lot of bloodshed. They're trying to... The forces are there speaking to the village people about who uploaded a photograph. And that's where the mystery begins. It's a beginning of a story that then spirals out of control. And there's two double page spreads in it. What I was going to do is Gustavo sent it through to me a couple of days ago and said, "Oh, you know, for a review, Tony," I would feel dishonest reviewing this and not including the image of these just two incredible pages. But at the end, I'd feel wrong about spoiling them for people who are buying the book. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah, it makes sense, yeah.
So I thought the best way to do it would be to talk about it, and we can all talk about it, really. But, fuck it, this is the next brilliant thing from Gustavo. It's, yeah. He hits you... It's really good, and it's worthy of the best image title you'll read. And... It's incredibly gripping and very different, conceptually very different from other things you'll read out there. And suddenly he hits you with these two double page spreads that are just multifaceted, layered, storytelling, beautifully drawn, experimental, nightmares of pages. And I'm just my eyeballs haven't survived from them. They're just incredibly beautiful. They're kind of a clever way, really. You could easily equate it to, oh, it looks like the best ever, you know, crazy album cover. There is an element of that to it. But as you follow the images around on the page, you see that there is a story to it. And it's done with the first one's done with this sort of central child with its veins exaggerated, with its arms out. And the arms and the shape of it break up the page into different coloured sections that almost appear like panels that you rotate around the page. And there's a cyborg bird and a squid in a tank and a man with sort of iron teeth, and it is absolutely beautiful. There's some really original design going on in the page. The pages go from being crowded, and you feel it because there's that cyberpunk element to it, these sort of crowded panels with words. He even uses the word panels, he colors them specifically designed for the color of the pages, and they're crowded in and crowded in. You feel the pressure and the pressure of what's happening to these people, and then it blows it out and it goes to these double page spreads and it goes to a single page image. And the pacing of that, I really enjoy that dense read, and then suddenly it opens up and then you go back to the character and you suddenly it opens up again, and it's really clever. It's probably best thing I've read this week. Really good.
Nice.
We say this every time we review one of his books, but why hasn't anyone picked him up from the mainstream? I don't really know what's going on.
God knows.
Yeah. His stuff in the Scrawl Annual was incredible again. I'm lucky enough to have some art of his, but I keep thinking I might go and invest in a page because it's going to double in price. Yeah, it's almost like an investment to buy a page of his. Mm. So it's Puno. It was Kickstarted. It's not long been finished, and he's posted it out, and he's doing the right thing around Kickstarter. If you go to Gustavo, so it's GustavoVargas, GustavoVargas.bigcartel.com. You can buy his comics. On Twitter, he's at Gustavo Vargas. Lucky enough to be a buddy of ours as well. So
yeah,
it's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, Geezer. Top yes. work.
Brilliant. Yeah, you've done great.
Brilliant stuff. My first one is a webcomic that's on Tapas. I've got two webcomics
this
week. First one is on Tapas, and it's by a creator called Ness Kane. Now, it's at Ness Kane, NESSKAIN. They have a large following on Twitter, and they are a French artist who is one of the artists for Blizzard, who those will know that company, that video game company. And instantly an immediate fan of this creator's work. Certainly, as I am a huge fan of video game concept art, especially like seeing character designs for you know your Street Fighters or your Overwatches or all of this kind of stuff, you know, super detailed sort of technical stuff that have that sort of manga influence to them and video game look to them, chunky sort of characters, but the details all there. And this is an artist that's doing all that kind of stuff who has started their own comic, and it is called A&A, Aid Cena and Armstrong. It's on Tapas. There's two chapters at the moment. The details about it are: who said that muscle and brain cannot work together? Follow the life of Sonia and Edmund, two minds passionate about technology and working out. And this is a kind of a slice of life and romance comic, but set in a sort of techno-futuristic world where there's cybernetics and there's robots. There's a sport called Fightball, which is very much like football, but with cybernetic characters, and they're all super.
This is based in South London.
Yeah, pretty much. And it all starts, and you are literally kind of dropped into this world. I mean, I didn't really know much about it, and you're dropped into this world, and immediately, I love the setup of it, because it's The meet cute is when two characters meet, isn't it, for the first time, that kind of thing. And it starts off very much with this, because it's about two characters who are, they're properly, like, muscly, sort of, they're, you know, fit characters. One of them's built like a tank, and the female is also, like, she's a wall of muscle, but feminine muscle as well. But they meet at a sort of a technology convention in Las Vegas. So there's, and immediately I was like, I recognise that sort of like that when two people meet, because it's that setting up the convention booth, you know, the person that's next to you. And of course they're two different sort of quite clearly geniuses who have set up their own, they've got their own technology. Edmund has a sort of technology which you connect it to your head and it makes you, it sort of connects you to a machine in a way that's unlike anything else. Like, it, you know, you don't, it, it's almost like an emotive sort of technology he has. She's created a sort of a weight set, which I think is fucking genius, and someone's bound to do this at some time. And like, you can see all these different dumbbells, and her technology is you can program the weight and it changes the weight on the dumbbell, so you can put it up to like max and stuff. And I was just like, that's fucking genius. So they're selling this technology to like people there, and of course someone from this fight ball sort of system comes along and says hello and is interested to them. One of them looks like a dog, like a robot dog, which you have to find out how they actually became a robot dog, which is quite funny. But the guy, the Edmund, who's created this technology about like becoming part of a machine, he doesn't want to sell it. He doesn't want to sort of sell out. He's just making stuff for himself. And there's just two characters who meet each other and they just get to know each other over this sort of weekend. And immediately, you just immediately like both of these characters. They're really cool. There's nothing, you know, I can't see anything sort of bitter or cynical about it. It's a cool world that's been created. It's absolutely stunning. It's a world, you know, fitness and technology and stuff meeting. It's the first time I've seen a sort of romance done in this sort of, done in that sort of area as well. It's sort of, you know, mashing up I don't want to use the word cyberpunk, because it's only that, because there's lots of cybernetics and things like that. Do you know what I mean? There's cool stuff like that.
Yeah.
That I can see that there's a chapter 2 that's just started going up, so I'm going to immediately read that as soon as I've finished this. But the creator obviously loves these characters as well, because if you just go on their Twitter feed, you know, people sort of, there's been a big thing recently of, here's the sketch, here's the final piece. We've all seen
this.
Yeah.
And they have done like sketches, which, I mean, this is how I discovered this creator anyway. And it seems to be one of the main characters is missing an arm, and the cybernetic arm is getting connected to it. I think that might be where the story's going, because that's not how the story starts. And the character in the background has like, Edmund's got like a huge beard in these sketches, but when you first meet them, he doesn't. He's got like a short beard. So yeah, I'm on board to see where these characters go. I absolutely love them, and this book is it. I will admit, I haven't really been on Tapas to read comics. I know
I've not been on there since we had John Freeman on. Do you remember? Because he had a book on there, didn't he?
Yeah. And they are updating as well, quite a lot. I mean, they said, in fact, as this is why I've only just noticed chapter 2 has gone up, because I think 15 minutes ago it got uploaded. I can see on the Twitter page, and it's very much chapter 2's ongoing, 16 pages left to do. They're showing their sort of work as it's going, and it seems like a creator that would love to do this full time. But they're also posting up really handy sort of art sort of tips and stuff as well on their page, so definitely follow them, because I absolutely love this series and I love the characters. So it was a lovely bit of joy as well as looking at some, you know, it's concept art, but there's a story with it. And you know, normally concept art is just one lovely picture and you think that God, who would make a comic like that? You wouldn't have the time. But this person's clearly a genie of some kind and has magical powers because they're doing it. So definitely check out A&A, which I will put the link in our chat, because it's great. It's really awesome. It's really awesome. Dan.
Nice one. Yeah, I'm going to talk about a comic I got through from Kickstarter called Damsel from Distress, which is written and I'm just going to scroll down to the names.
Andrew Clemson.
Yeah. Yeah, it's written by Andrew Clemson, Mauricio Mora, who's on the art, and Hassan Otsemain Elahu, who's the editor and letterer on the book, which is this product is absolutely like top notch, first class. Like, I'd expect this to be put out by one of the biggest studios, because the level of production and quality throughout just absolutely shines through. The art is just on point. I really love the art style. Essentially, Damsel in Distress tells the story of, imagine James Bond or the Man from U.N.C.L.E. set in a Dungeons and Dragons type world, where the main character, the female lead, sort of like a spunky young girl who goes on spy and espionage missions. And not to sort of break the story down too far, there's sort of like intrigue, family intrigue, which kind of is set up and teased out at the end of the first issue. It's a nice solid read. If you kind of like those kind of settings and setups, this is kind of the comic you're going to enjoy. It's absolutely solid, does what it sets out to do. It was a nice little read. It's great to see that come through. I think if you get in contact with Andrew on Twitter, you should be able to source either a print copy or a digital copy. But obviously, I'm just looking at the Kickstarter page. But it's a nice little comic, and it did really well on Kickstarter. And I imagine there's more issues to come of it, because I'm not sure if it's a mini series or an ongoing. I presume it'd be a mini since it's small press. But yeah, so go check that one out.
Nice. Okay, cool. Tony, back over to you.
Well, just to prove that I'm not an old cynical bastard, and that I don't believe that romance was made up just to sell cards on Valentine's Day, I've chosen a romantic comic to read through and talk to you about. And it's Vampirella Valentine's Day Special 2021.
It's genuinely called the Valentine's Day Special as well.
It's got
hearts on the cover and everything.
Yeah, not actually sure why, but we'll talk about it in a minute. Written by Tom Snigowski and Janine Akerson. Artist Marcos Ramos, colorist Dine Ribeiro, letterer Taylor Esposito, main cover artist Joseph Michael Linsner. Now, I'll buy anything by Linsner. I love his work, absolutely love it, and I am currently stalking him online to try and get him on the show, as we all know on here. So if you do know him, please just tell him to come on the show. He can draw a female form. Yes, I know it's a bit cheesecakey, but I do admire his artistry. So published by Dynamite Comics, a little bit pricey. It's $4.99, which, let's face it, in dollars is a bit too much for a single issue. So it starts off with someone in the shadows reading an ancient and magical book that charts the alternatives to events that can take place. For example, in Vampirella's timeline, she has beaten Dracula. But in this alternate future, alternate history, she may not have been beating him, and he has been triumphant and taken her as a wife. Now, okay, as part of the deal is, he rules the earth, and she's bargained. She says, "I'll become your wife. You know, I'll, you know, stand by your side if you don't kill all the humans." And she sort of agreed that only a few will be taken away and used as food and stuff like that. Dracula, he's portrayed as a sort of warlord kind of character, not the Marvel kind of Dracula kind of thing. He doesn't know that, because the special thing about Vampirella, she's got all the skills and, you know, the abilities of vampire, but none of their weaknesses. So crosses don't affect her. She can be out in the daytime, stuff like that. So during the daytime, when Dracula's sleeping, she goes out. She tells him she's going to look after and guard his body, but she's actually going out as a character called Bloodwing, which is a member of the human resistance, and she wears like a mask. And they've gone round and they've started hijacking the human shipments. So the vans full of, you know, the lorries full of humans that have been taken off to provide sustenance for the vampires. But they're doing so well that Dracula begins to notice. He dons his armor and he goes after them himself. He finds Bloodwing, aka Vampirella, and he realizes who she is because he smashes her mask off during a fight. plunges a sword through her and leaves her for dead as she falls off a cliff. She gets taken in by a group of magicians, including someone who's obviously part of the Van Helsing family, and they save her. And turns out there's a super blood farm being developed where the humans are being bled of their blood, and their breeding experiments are made to create super vampire shock troops. And then, of course, there's a final battle, which I won't ruin it if you want to read it. Two things I found strange about this. One, it's actually a prequel for an upcoming series. They kept that quiet. Okay. So right at the end, they go, this will be continued in another series. I'm like, oh, okay. I thought it was going to be a standalone. And two, for a Valentine's special, there's not much in it that's very romantic. I've got to be honest with you. You know, nothing, to be fair. She's in a, I suppose she's in a terrible relationship with Dracula, but I don't know. That's about it, really. The covers done by Linsner, like I say, I'll buy anything by him. Gene Hart, the thing about anyone who buys Dynamite comics that have anything to do with lithe and good-looking ladies knows that there's going to be a million variant covers. Gene Hart's done one, and then you've got the classic Dynamite cosplay variant, of which I've sent you some photographs of various ones over the last few months. The interior art is okay. It's workable. It carries the story well enough. But I do feel like this is a graphic novel that's been crammed into a single issue. There's a lot that happens that, you know, could have happened elsewhere. We've got castles and warriors and vampires and medieval lands. And
there's it one point. Sounds absolutely great. Got to
yeah.
Say.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. And if it was a big hardback graphic novel, this would be great with maybe a different artist on board. Dynamite's really ramped up their activity around Vampirella. So as well as there being, I think, Vampirella and Vengeance of Vampirella, you've also got the ongoing Vampirella and Red Sonja. It's, I think, Vampirella and the Superpowers. There's the Sacred Six, which features Vampirella's daughter, I think one of them is, and some of the other characters. And I sort of, over Christmas, I read easily 60 issues of Vampirella recent comics, and I had a blast with it. I think they're really good. I think they're going the right way with it. I'm beginning to wonder if this is maybe a step too far. Do we really need an alternate history that launches itself off into another series? I think it might confuse the reader. I don't know. But Linsner's great. The character's great. Pick up Sacred Six. Pick up Vengeance of Vampirella, and you'll have a good time with it. I think she's a really good character. I've been following since I read the novels in the 80s, I think it was. So, you know, she's kind of a hero vampire. It's not all TNA. Everyone thinks Vampirella's just TNA, and it's not really. But, yeah, they're pretty good. So that's my one.
It's kind of, she's a hard one because haven't they tried to reboot her costume like,
yes.
several times?
The more covering up they do, the lower the sales figures.
That's really weird because, like, it's odd because if you want to tell some, like, different stories of her, I feel like the cover, their costume kind of holds her back in that regard because it gets written off.
Yeah, but Paul then... Cornell did a series and it was just so dry and just not her and... I honestly don't know where he was coming from with it. And then I think Dan Abnett got hold of it and it was really good again. So, yeah, I mean, they're really pushing it at the moment. And there's, I'm a little jaded with some Marvel and DC titles and I wanted something that was a character with multiple titles and multiple storylines I could really grab hold of. And I think Vince Bonn on 11 o'clock was going on about it. I thought, well, that sounds right up my alley. So I got that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Nice one.
Nice. My second choice is Webtoon book, one that has been mentioned, recommended to me a couple of times by Tom Curry, the fifth Beatle of the Awesome Lot. And it's a romance strip called Law Olympus. I probably say that name and a lot of people are probably aware of this book or this strip. It is a romance webcomic created by an artist called Rachel Smythe, or it could be Smith, but with a Y-T-H-E. It is basically a modern retelling of Persephone and Hades, the romantic relationship between the two Greek deities, shall we say. Why would people know about this? Well, just having a quick search of it before this episode today... it's the most popular comic on Webtoon.
Bloody hell.
I mean, that's what it says at the moment. as of August, it had 4.1 million subscribers. it's been nominated for an Eisner Award, a Ringo Award, and a television series is actually under development for it. And I can see why. This is a really, really good tale, actually. My first, once again, one of my first really tests of webtoons, because all of these sort of webcomics and stuff, you scroll down, don't you? It's sort of, it's that kind of thing. Well, that's how I've done it with the desktop anyway.
Yeah.
And it flows so well. It does take that classic tale of Persephone, Hades becoming sort of besotted with her, and then I say stealing her away, but the way the book is done, it is a sort of retelling. This is almost like a modern retelling. These are Greek gods that dress in suits and have parties. This is like, you know, they're more like sort of like high society, high metropolis sort of society gods, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, this swords and sandals and stuff like that. Zeus is certainly, the look of Zeus isn't your big beard sort of god, you know, and all of them have she does a really wonderful sort of look of the palette as well. The characters have a very strong colour to them. Like Hades is all in blue sort of hues, Persephone is sort of like pinks and magentas, and Zeus is in, like, I think he's in blues and, no, he's in purples, I think. Yeah, there's lots of things going on, as there will be whenever you're dealing with these Greek myths, that, you know, because there was some fucked up things sometimes happens in those sort of stories, you know. And there's lots to come. I mean, there is, I think, around 149-150 sort of chapters of it. I got up to 9 today. I got up to 9 quickly. I just started reading it and scrolling down, and before I knew it, it was like, oh, I'll just go on to the next one, which is immediately the sign that, you know, it's really worth checking out.
It's not a problem. You're just blasting through it.
Yeah, it was like, and it was easy to sort of like, this chapter's ended. Let's click on the next one. It was only, and thing is, it felt so consistent, and it only just started in 2018, so there is a consistency to it. It wasn't one of those, you know, sometimes when you go to the start of a webcomic and there's a definite difference between the latest one. I don't know if there is a difference, because I didn't start, you know, it didn't immediately open up with the latest page. But this is wonderfully done. The art is, I believe it's all digital, but it has like the brushes almost have like a sort of chalky look to them. There's some, you know, some wonderful sort of touches, like backgrounds are very much very dark and the characters pop from them. There's some nice moments of black and white, sort of flashback moments or certain character reaction moments, which really caught me. I'd be very interested to see what something like this would be like in print. It probably has been Kickstarted. Surely it's been printed, you know, with this kind of following, surely. Because it read so well in that sort of scrolling format, with it had like big, like, speech bubbles, you know, big speech bubbles with less words that maybe in print would look a little strange, but worked perfectly for my reading experience on webtoons. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
It was strange. It was like, this is almost, you know, she's picked the absolute perfect sort of way to tell this story. So if you don't know about Lore Olympus, then we're clearly the 2% of the world who don't. But it was interesting. I know Tom has been reading it for a while, and like whenever I've talked about, well, you know, what are some good romantic sort of stories, it's always the first one he brings up. And it is really, you know, it has charm, it has humour, but it seems to be that it has those things but doesn't undercut some of the darker moments that are going to come. Certainly, I think. So yeah, it's worth checking out. There's a whole sort of page.
Check it out.
Yeah, Hades has a whole load of different dogs, and as I was scrolling down, he names all his different. Because obviously you've got the, is it Cerberus?
Cerberus.
Yeah, Cerberus. He has that dog, but he's got like six others, and one of them is called, like, you know, Jeff or something like that. And there's a little, and they're all different types of dogs. And there's real, if you're a dog lover, there's wonderful moments of like, right, like he's just at the vet with one of the dogs, and you can't even see the dog's head because it's just got a massive cone over its head.
Is this an app then? Is it? Is Webtoons an app or is it just a web thing?
It must have an app, but I literally just went to webtoons.com. If you go to webtoons.com, it's probably what. One of the ones on the homepage, to be fair.
Okay. Pretty much all of them do have app readers now.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, well worth checking out. And also, by reading these two comics, it sort of got me more in that sort of headspace of reading this sort of stuff. So I think I'm going to, you know, maybe see if there's any other titles out there. But worth checking out. I might dip my toe into the webcomic space a bit more.
Hey, nice one.
Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, very good. And both put me in a sort of nice mood as well. They were Ooh. Joys to read rather than just sort of
a chore.
Did the cover of the comic I sent you earlier called Talk Dirty, did that put you in a good mood?
Well, yeah, but that's for different reasons.
Okay. I put that online and Sarah Harris and Rachel Lee Caro both said her lips look really dry, she needs a chapstick.
Yeah, so, and it became a whole fucking conversation thread. Oh dear, I actually bought some comics actually on Comixology for the first time in a couple of weeks this week,
so we'll see.
So I'm looking forward to reading some. I just look for some sort of cheap ones, and also issue 2 of Scout's Honor, which I'm looking forward to reading.
Nice. When was the Everybody Dies,
Let's All Die?
I don't think it's out yet, is it?
Yeah, it's not out yet, but it will be out soon. Okay.
He did say send us a preview, didn't he? So, yeah.
I'm chomping at the bit for that. I forgot to mention, I read the first issue of Radiant Black this week.
Oh, yeah, you said about that on Twitter.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's an interesting start. A lot of people sort of saying, it's the next Invincible, obviously, the proof's in the pudding, but it's a nice little start.
Yeah, you can't say that to Dan Butcher.
The artwork on it is fucking unbelievable. Like,
oh, nice.
Really?
It's not everyone's cup of tea, but it's really my cup of tea. I was just like, holy fuck, this is like another step on from sort of the colouring. And
who's that by, dude? Who's that?
I can't remember the bloody artist. No, it just popped out of nowhere. Like, oh yeah, remember Radiant Black? Because I read it when it came out.
Yeah, it's an image book. I've got it here.
Yeah.
Kyle Higgins.
Oh, okay.
Art by Marcelo Costa. Covered by Michael Cho. Michael Cho does a good fucking job.
Love Michael Cho. Michael
Cho is fucking brilliant.
I actually set my alarm on my phone to say, there's the fucking book coming out today.
Nice. Good work, man. Yeah. I've got the next two issues of Firepower as well, so I'm hopefully looking to make sure that actually goes somewhere now.
Yeah, I hope it redeems itself because I kind of utterly lost me in that last trade. No disrespect. I guess
well, stories do, don't they? That, you know, sometimes they hit your vein in the right way, and other times they're just not for you. Simple as that.
Yeah. I also got Modern Life Comics presents Gadzooks for discerning adults only. Three on the post this week from a piece that John Freeman did on Down the Tubes, and it looks fucking. It's proper Fat Freddy's Cat looking. I'll probably talk about it this week. Yeah. But a British version of it. Yeah.
I do love a bit of Freak Brothers.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Every so often when you're in the right mood, it's ideal, isn't it? Yeah.
Nice. Right, well, plenty of comics for you to check out from all over the world and the web and etc. We hope we've put you in the mood for love.
You missed a chance. It was yesterday.
Well,
wait another year for a bit of booty now.
But we're keeping it going. Hopefully, we endeavour every week to keep your love
get
of
you
comics.
Laid.
No.
Dan
comics
Malley
isn't the way to do that.
He came back from the supermarket and said there were loads of blokes in there, like with flowers.
When I used to be a bit of a drinker, the only thing I ever used to get from my lady was a box of chocolates that were bent in the middle because I used to have to buy them in the 24-hour garage, and you couldn't go in the shop. They had to push them through the slot. And it was like he used to break them in half.
Jesus Christ.
He thought of her. That's what counts,
exactly.
Isn't it?
What the hell? Why did I even suggest a romance fucking episode with you two absolute animals? Anyway, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode and are feeling loved up and feeling good about comics. If there's anything you want us to discuss on upcoming episodes, or if you've got any...
got any sort of emotional problems or romantic problems, then please write into us.
Yeah, tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com.
We won't talk about them, but we may laugh a lot.
We've got Dear Arnie Tony, haven't we?
We need to bring that back. Tom wants us to bring that back. He likes that one.
You know what? For when we get near the 300s, we should bring back some of the classic features.
300, I think, will be the seatbelts will come off for that. But we're almost there. So
the Tony Agony Aunt Corner, we have Dan's Dictionary Corner.
Yeah. Oh, I love Dan's Dictionary Corner.
Yeah.
Sex Robot News. Just the whole...
We can have a segment.
Let's just say it now. There will be 5% comic talk on on that episode. No. There's always going to be comic talk, and we
love
we,
comics, man.
Yeah.
Forget about women. We love comics.
Yep.
What?
But whatever you love, we hope you love this show. So back to the contact details. If there's anything you want us to shout about, email us awesomecomics@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod, or we'll be retweeting, throwing out some questions for some of our topics, letting you know who the guests are for upcoming shows, etc., etc. And of course, when we tweet this episode, get interactive on the comments thread and keep the conversation going. Likewise, if you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast and join the community group Awesome Comics Talk, where we post up the episode details to keep the conversation going. There is art threads, there is comics.
Fuck loads gone up in the last few days.
Yep, there's loads of community talk. There's no hard selling or like Tom actually chuckled to me the other day. He goes, God, I'm just really loving just stopping those Kickstarter. He's discovered now.
He's seen the reality of it.
Yeah,
now,
he's seen the reality of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is good. So, thank you for your help with that, Tom.
I know it goes against the page rules, but I was just hoping to drop my Kickstarter. Nope.
My favourite one is the people who answer all the questions apart from the one about Kickstarter, so they don't agree to that one.
Yeah.
Because there's three questions. Are you a listener? What comics do you like? And just to let you know, you have to confirm you won't be dropping your Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So they answer the first two, and then you think, I think, 5, 4, 3, and they drop their Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't get around us, people, because the only way that we are bots is because we're just a bunch of arses. So,
Curry's a terrier. He'll be arse.
Yeah.
If you want the advert, pay the money. Come on.
But seriously, join the community group, because there's a wonderful group of people on there.
Yes. And
keep the conversation going.
Got a new community project going, so that's going to be fun.
Yes. Yes, so get involved.
I've got the idea for mine.
Oh, yes. I always look forward to whatever Dan's going to do next. That sounded a bit saucy as well.
Hang on.
Thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website awesomecomics.bobbean.com. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe and leave a review and just help get the word out about the show. And we'll be forever grateful to you and your best friend. And we love you for it. See, there's always so much love. We're also on other networks like Spotify, Amazon, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are we on, Tony?
Pod slapping it in the snow.
There you go. Did we do that joke before we started recording?
What about wanking in the snow? I just changed it to slap it. It was going to be a different one, wasn't it? It was going to be Pod. You haven't a clue about my politics, so you can still buy my comics, but I didn't go with that one in the end.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
See you later.
Romance.
There you go. On that bombshell, the coffee's out of my system now. So it's time for us to bid you adieu. We hope you have a brilliant week. Yeah, you heard me. I'm bilingual.
Right, Pepe Le Pew.
I do stink. I mean, that character is it's problematic, isn't it?
Classic. Yeah, a little bit rapey.
On some levels.
Subtle undernotes of raping.
Yeah.
I think I'll drug her this episode.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, dear God.
As though it's this contrived way, the cat would get the two stripes at the back.
Yeah.
I'm fucking putting their hair out trying to get that done every fucking cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But thank you very much for listening. Wherever you are, we hope you're okay, healthy, having a good week, reading loads of comics, and just, we love you. That's what this show's all been about this week. So I want the others to say it. How do you feel about them, guys?
I don't like them.
I love the listeners. Love them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Go on, Tony.
I love both.
I think it's the equivalent of meeting Dan in a club if I was a sexy lady and him telling me he loved me straight away. And I went, you've only just met me.
Yeah. You'd believe him, though, wouldn't you?
I would. I'd purposely believe him. I wouldn't even believe it, but I'd pretend I did.
Yeah.
Just give him a shot at the title.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Have a brilliant week, everyone. From Dan, Tony, and myself. Read loads of comics. Love. Try to love each other.
Make loads of comics.
Love yourself.
Love yourself. Because if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else?
If you can't, Dan, love yourself, you know what I've that's from, don't
you? You know what that's from, don't you, Dan?
Yeah, of course I do.
Yeah.
Ruth Rules.
Yep. Drag Race, baby. As always, what do they do, guys?
Stay awesome.
Oh, Dan.
Yes.
That was a bit muted.
No, you weren't on time, Dan. Shame on you. Well done, Tony.
Come on. well, because it is Valentine's, I did want Tony to come first.
Hey! Bye, everyone.
Bye. I'll do a blizzard.
Oh, I bet you do. Is that when you wank in the snow?
Wanking in the snow.
Wanking in the snow.
Right. I know what pod's going to be this week.
Yep.
Good. Yep.
Yep. They call this the snowman. Wanking in the air.